Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board. It's 9:30 a.m. I'd like to ask everybody to turn or silence their cell phones. And this time we'll have roll call.
And please excuse me if I mispronounce your name. Commissioner Burdick?
Here.
Tomas Bowden? Sabash?
I'm here.
Deidre Gibson?
Here.
Lawrence Osband?
Present.
Jose Zayas? Nancy Wiseman?
Here.
Mike Nagelberg?
Yo!
Sharon Green?
I'm here.
Cindy Barnes?
Cindy's been replaced by Kelly.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Cindy's been replaced by Kelly.
Okay, thank you. Shane Churchwell? Bobby Valentine?
Here.
David Evans? Betty Jones? Dominique Thomas? Mary McDonald Garrett?
Mary Ann McDonald Garrett.
Present.
Mary Ann.
Mary Ann, okay.
Thank you.
I believe we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
I move.
We have a motion and a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Let the record reflect unanimous support. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of May 14th, 2014?
Move to approve as submitted.
And who was that?
Larry Osborne. We have a second by Bobby Valentine. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, we have all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record reflect unanimous support. We have a few changes that we'd like to talk about today under general comments, and we're going to to be very flexible today, but we will implement them at our next meeting. Any members of the public that wish to speak at this meeting must complete a comment card, which will be available at the next meeting over here, so it's easily accessible at the welcome table. General comments will be heard prior to consideration of any agenda item. And then, item will be heard following the presentation of the item. And we are going to be asking members of the public and to speak up to 3 minutes. Stanley.
I would like to speak.
Okay. Well,
from here?
Yes, sir. You can speak from there. And you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. Good.
Now, you're speaking to anything that's not on the agenda.
I understand that.
Okay.
Commissioner, good morning. Commissioner Burdick. Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's a very good morning because of the changes and additions that will be put forth in the future. This new format allows me the opportunity to address you on a subject that is not on the agenda. And one is a subject that is not on the agenda is one that was formerly there, but for some unknown reason, it was canceled. And it involves bus shelters and bus benches. And so for that reason, since shelters and benches have been ignored, the lack of them, the fact is that the county is being shorted one-third of the required benches and shelters and are losing millions of dollars over the course of a 10-year contract because of that. So my reason in bringing this to your attention is so you're cognizant of the severe inconvenience that bus riders are put to because there are 3,000 bus stops and only a combination of 450 shelters and benches in the entire county, one-third of which aren't even being put out there. And since the county derives income on the number of shelters and benches, they are taking a huge loss over the course of the 15-year contract. So with your other responsibilities or other contacts, I would hope that you would disseminate the information concerning shelters and benches and do your best to get either your commissioner or other responsible elected officials to look into this serious matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Bobby?
This is not on the agenda, okay? But we are starting fundraising for the trip to Tallahassee. We're going to take it again this year. So we hope that all of you will help us raise funds to go. And also, if you'd like to go again, you're always invited to go as long as you don't go. You can. What we're going for is transportation issues. The fact that your agencies help people get bus passes and get transportation would be very good for us when we go to Tallahassee. So if you'd like to go this year, keep in touch. We'll let you know how things are going. But we hope that you will help us fundraise, too.
Thank you, Bobby.
Larry? Larry's also on the... Okay.
Thank you. And it is very effective to see everybody up there. Any other comments from the public? Would staff like to comment on the bus shelters today or at the next meeting?
That would be fine.
At the next meeting, that's why it was removed, because we wanted to find out exactly what the concern with that was.
I have a comment. They don't give me again.
Wait a minute. Excuse me.
That's a fixture issue, not a connection issue. So it's really not an issue that would come before this board.
Go ahead. Well, I think we're going to shift more and more connection riders onto the fixed route, and we're not going to be able to do that unless we have benches and shelters. Palmtran did make a presentation to the MPO Citizens Advisory Board, and I'd asked staff at that time if we could look into not necessarily... Palmtran seems to have its hands tied in terms of a lot of ADA requirements, in terms of having to then acquire land to be able to build the appropriate pad to be able to have more benches and shelters. However, there are a lot of organizations that are putting benches all throughout Palm Beach County. And that's what I asked staff, if they could research, what could we do to work in conjunction with another organization or see what we can do to work around, even if we couldn't do a shelter, to be able to have more of these benches at least close to a Palmtran bus stop, because it is, I do agree with Stanley, it is a serious issue that we have, and other organizations are just putting these shelters, putting ads on them, and making revenue.
Well, benches, not shelters.
Benches. So even if we don't make the revenue, at least work to have more of a resource so people could sit down close to the Palmtran stations.
As I mentioned at a board meeting, we're looking into that issue. It's a complex issue. We have 38 municipalities. Everybody has different criteria. There's the bench contract. There's the bus shelter contract. So we're working on the issue. We don't see serious failures. The IG has looked at it. Your auditor has looked at it. But I continue to look at it to see where we can make improvements. And I have a meeting scheduled with the bus contractor in the next 2 weeks.
And so you'll get
bench. Shelter contractor in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So you'll give us a report the next meeting, update us on that issue?
To the best of my ability.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask for a question?
Sure.
At the service board meeting coming up, might you be able to give us an update on the possibility of the new shelter in front of 1150 45th Street?
The health department?
Thank you.
And I just want to make clear, because we've had this discussion multiple times and we keep getting back, we can't do anything because of the ADA requirements. So I'm asking if Palmtran staff could also present on some of the other alternatives of what we would need to do or who we would need to work with to get other buses, other benches out there.
Is the issue primarily an unincorporated Palm Beach County?
No. It's an ADA issue.
So it's in the cities that we're having the issue?
Like I said, we don't see it as an issue. It's complex because there's 38 municipalities. There's the MPO we're working with. We're trying to make some changes with MPO and how money is filtered through MPO, through us, to municipalities for shelter. So there's a lot of intertwining issues that we're trying to dig through. So I really don't want to give you incorrect or incomplete information.
But the contract with the county was for a specific number of bus shelters and seats? No?
Again, I don't necessarily think it's, I don't want to speak out of turn. I'll be happy to meet with you individually when I get to the point that I have all the information, but I'm not there yet.
Okay. Because perhaps, you know, with a lot of the advocates and agencies here, they all recognize that there is a need. I think there's a need. And they can perhaps assist us with some of the advocacy with the contacts that they have within cities and municipalities once we do find out what some
it's
of the
It's also an issue of who's going to maintain it, who's going to install it.
Right of way.
There's a lot of complex intertwining issues.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Alice Koyanagi. I'm an adjustment to blindness counselor with the Lighthouse of the Blind. And my comment is for my clients who are guide dog owners and users. There's quite a few times that the guide dogs are shunned or people are afraid of the dogs, including the passengers. I wanted to bring out, I need information so I can get back to my clients. When a passenger makes a trip with their guide dog, is there also room on that trip for a seat given to their dog? Because what's happened is the dog ends up in the aisle or they're next to, their dog is under their feet and they're on the seat with the tire, so there's not enough with the wheel, not enough room for them, and the person next to them, the other rider, is afraid of dogs, so it creates a whole uncomfortable climate in the van, in the bus. So I wanted to know if that's possible to look at, that when we schedule these, that the dog owner and the dog both get each a seat, so that we avoid other riders next to the dog or the dog being put in the aisle, which is dangerous because one dog did, they stopped suddenly and he ended up at the front of the bus. The other thing is just the awareness of the ADA law, not only for the drivers, but for the other customers, that regardless of their anxiety and fear, that guide dog has every right to be on the bus also. There's been quite a few issues going on, and I just wanted to bring it to the attention for that population who use guide dogs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to F, special presentation.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Luke Lambert with the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization. And some of you know that we are just taking over the responsibilities to being the designated official planning agency. And Kelly sits on the Martin. I came from Martin County and used to do the LCB up there. So she's seen this PowerPoint before. So just kind of wanted to go over the rules and kind of what the LCB is supposed to do year in and year out and other issues that might not be relevant here. So, and I think... Stanley, you requested kind of an organizational chart of the CPC and how everything works. This is it, and I could send you a copy if you would like, but it's in the agenda package today. So, a little, not really complicated, but it's a tough diagram. So at the top, we have the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged, who is a state-level policy board for the coordination of TD services. The Palm Beach MPO is the DOPA on the top right, and our job primarily is to fill out the functions of the planning grant that the CTD gives out, which includes some of the stuff we do yearly, like the TDSP, reviewing contracts, doing annual evaluations of the CTC. And so then, really, that's where this board comes into place here. You guys identify local service needs and provide guidance and coordination of services to the CTC. So then farther down the org chart, we have the CTC, who I think everyone knows, is the organization responsible for the coordination of the transportation. And going lower, they have the operators. And I think you guys have one operator currently and three on board, correct?
Well, yes, we have one prime contractor, okay. And then we're going to do a system with three okay. contractors.
All right. And all of that goes down to the transportation disadvantaged persons, who some of you are and who all of you represent. So was that clear, Stanley? The org chart?
I have one question.
Just
after the presentation.
Okay.
Stanley, you can speak after the presentation.
Pardon?
After the presentation.
His presentation.
Yes.
Okay. So the LCB meetings must meet at a minimum quarterly and as often as necessary. So if there is a need, we could have a special meeting. We operate under the Sunshine Law. So just so everyone's clear, if anyone needs more guidance on that, we could give you Sunshine Law booklets. And public comments are on the agenda now. And I have never done this, but teleconference meetings are a possibility, but a quorum must be physically present. So the membership here, everyone is appointed by the planning agency, and we do take applications for new individuals, and members can rotate if you wish to. I think there's 3-year terms. And the chair, Commissioner Burdick, must be appointed by the MPO board, and they must be an elected official. So it could be any elected official in Palm Beach County. everyone is entitled to an alternate member in case they cannot show up, and I think we have a couple here, or none today, but all right. Terms of appointment must be in accordance with 412024FAC, and the attendance. The planning agency shall consider rescinding the appointment of any LCB member who fails to attend 3 consecutive meetings. We've never had that happen, but we just notify the commission, and it seems like you guys have a pretty normal quorum, so there should be no issue there.
I have a question. If
can we ask the questions at the end?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's of course.
Thank you. The LCB operates by the bylaws, which you all adopt, and I believe you guys adopted them in May of last year. And today we do have them on the agenda just for housekeeping, changing the designated official planning agency to us and kind of the responsibilities for what we fill out. So we'll get to that later in the agenda. There are a set of LCB operating guidelines. They are available on the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged website, which is available to everyone. And I encourage you to go look at them. But hopefully this PowerPoint kind of gives it to you all in one. Sorry, skipped ahead. So one of the major things that we will work on is the evaluation workbook. I don't know, has anyone here, well, I should ask, I'll ask later. Hopefully we will get enough volunteers for that to assist. I mean, there's going to be a lot of work with that later on, and I think we will tackle that next. We'll probably begin in March and then finish up in the May meeting. But the evaluation workbook is one of the big functions of this board. There is some QA cell certifications that are submitted to the CTD by the CTC. And they include drug and alcohol operator monitoring, safety review, and driver training. And just some notes to remember, the CTC should not conduct the evaluation or the surveys, so that's why the MPO will be taking over that responsibility in the future. The LCB also has the grievance process. Those are updated annually, and a complaint is when a customer complains about a service, and a grievance is an unresolved complaint. So that's why we have our grievance board, and I'm unaware of when the last time there were any issues. But
about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then it was with the Medicaid side.
Okay. So grievances must be in writing. The LCB must make copies of the grievance policy available to anyone upon request. and the LCV must specify the max amount of days that the LCV has to respond. So that might be an instance of a small meeting group outside of a regular meeting. More grievance guidelines. All grievances are filed with the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage in Tallahassee, and the Medicaid grievances no longer applies to this board anymore. I went through that pretty quickly. I think I skipped a couple going through. Does anyone have any questions about the LCB and the role, or Larry?
Well, your last statement, we have nothing to do with the Medicaid grievances anymore, because that's basically the only grievances we've been hearing.
Okay.
So my question is, we don't have anything to do with that anymore?
The Medicaid will be handled by, I believe, by ACA, and basically the only Medicaid services that I think the LCB provides here is PPAC, and I think that's it.
Okay.
Mary Ann? I had a question regarding attendance. I mean, I know we meet quarterly, but I represent the workforce board, CareerSource. It's very important that we're represented. The alternative members, if in the event that I have like a webinar, a workshop or something, which I had in May and I couldn't attend, but I did send someone.
That's fine.
Okay. So these are not like named?
They're not named. It would be their seat.
Thank you. Okay, great.
Bobby? Yes. You made a statement, and I think you were misunderstood. You said that now public comments were part of the meeting. Public comments have always been a part of this meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with how the agendas were, so looking back and forth, they were always
at the end.
Okay. And we just switched that to the beginning because of how the MPO operates.
Okay.
So thank you for clarifying.
With your permission, I actually like the idea to have comments before so it can be discussed, because towards the end, people talk and people are leaving.
Yes.
So I think it's a good adoption.
Stanley, you had a question? Stanley?
And I'd like to know who is the CTC? Who are they? Do they meet? Who is the chair of the CTC?
The CTC?
It means the County Transportation Coordinator?
It means Community Transportation Coordinator.
Okay. Who are they?
And in Palm Beach County, that agency is Palm Tran Connection.
Well, I thought that was changed. I thought that was being changed, where Connection was the coordinator.
Connection is the coordinator. What has changed is the designated official planning agency, and that is now the MPO.
Okay.
So in the past, they were both, and now they're separate.
Okay. So the Board of County Commissioners are not the CTC?
I think technically speaking, yes.
Yeah.
But Palm Tran Connection has always had that role.
Okay.
So
I was led to believe that there would be a role change now because of Connection's ongoing problems or their future responsibilities, and that the Board of County Commissioners should rightfully be the agency or the board that handles that responsibility.
The Board of County Commissioners makes all policy decisions as it relates to Palm Tran Connection.
And I seldom have ever seen reports referring to the activities of Connection in regard to being the community transportation coordinator.
Everything we report is in regards to our role as community transportation coordinator.
And Ron, you guys signed the MOR, correct? Or the MOA? You signed
yes.
the MOA?
Correct.
So technically you guys, yeah. Fill that, but I know you're not the Board of County Commissioners, so.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from Mike?
I would like to suggest that the ID number be used by the drivers when calling for let's say, instead of calling out the names of the people or the person he's looking for, that he used the number, and this is based upon my personal observation, of how many times drivers have made mistakes because they can't pronounce the name correctly, and it is easier to make a mistake on the name than on the number, and it serves the further purpose of not advertising to everyone who's waiting for Palm Tran Connection by using the number, and it's easier to recognize the number, and they don't pick up the wrong individual, which they do on occasion, yet, regularly.
Ron?
I think that's a good idea. It might be something we would want to look at when we start the next contract, a good transition into that. And I would just say probably better to use both, but I think it's a good idea we can look into. It's a good point.
Any other comments? I'm going to have the final one on Sunshine Law. It's really very, very important. We, amongst ourselves, cannot discuss anything outside of a meeting that we may in the future vote on.
Okay. Yeah, if any of the board members have questions, please direct them to myself. I'm the staff, I'm not on this board, so I could speak to any one of you. So if you have questions, please contact me, and I'll try and pass out some cards. I don't have enough for everybody, but any questions? All right,
moving on. Action items. We have a motion to approve transportation operators' payments.
Move to approve.
Larry.
Oh, I'm sorry. And if everyone...
Bobby Valentine was the second. Any questions? All in favor? Any opposed? Let the record reflect unanimous support. Item 2B, motion to adopt the... let's review the bylaws first.
And just a quick comment, Renee, this is her first time, so if you could, before you make motions, just kind of say your name for till everyone gets accommodated. So. Okay, so I know you guys just updated the bylaws, I think, back in May, but due to some housekeeping changes, I've included the track changes of the bylaws. I hope everyone's had a chance to review them. Formatting colors... Just, I think really the only changes besides formatting and coloring was on the second to last page. Let me get there. So, Article 6 of staff. So, strike through Palm Tran and just replace Martin, or the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization. Responsibilities. The responsibilities that are listed, 1 through 10, are all in the operating guidelines for the planning agency. So that's where these come from, and these are some of the deliverables that we submit to the CTE. And I think that is it. Easy housekeeping.
Any questions?
Move to approve is submitted by Larry.
Thank you.
Second by Marianne.
Thank you very much. Thank All you. In favor? Any opposed? Let the record reflect unanimous support. Thank you, Luke. Action information items, 3A. On the expenditure report.
And
Mike?
So I just wanted to speak up really quick on this item. The AER is a deliverable to the CTD every year. And I think in the past, this board did it a little bit differently. But this item... just really needs to be reviewed by this board. And, you know, these are the expenditures of the CTC. And you can see, you know, there's nothing under TA and there's nothing under other. So with that, Mike, I think in the past you guys used to sign it and stuff?
It has to be signed by the chair, of course, when it's completed and once reviewed, yes.
Okay. I think we'll talk about that a little after then. But as far as I... you know, am knowledgeable of, it doesn't really need to be signed, so just needs to be brought before this board and everyone review it.
Okay.
So.
That's new to me. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
No, that's good. The basic purpose of this report is to show the level of local funding versus the funding we receive from the federal level as it relates to Palm Tran Connection. for those who are not familiar with the level funding, we get one grant from the federal government, and that's called the Older Americans Act, and that's $328,000. The purpose of that funding is to use for the co-pays for the DOS riders that are traveling back and forth to the nutritional mail sites. What this port wants to reflect is, okay, what is that in relation to the total funding that we receive from Palm Beach County? So if you look at the numbers on the left-hand side, you can see local funding expenditures, local funding number of one-way trips. Now, I need to point out in both in the expenditures and the number of one-way trips, there are the bus, we're factored in the cost of the bus passes and the trips related to bus passes. So when you look at the numbers, please keep that in mind. Because you're going to see a number like $4 million on the number of one-way trips, and you're probably questioning that, but that includes the number of bus passes sold during the state fiscal year, which runs through July 2013 to June 2014. So that, please keep that in mind. We factored in the bus trips, because we are a big participant in that program. Again, let's go through the numbers. $28 million, level of local expenditures, $420,399. The number of one-way trips is $4,093,407. Now, when you look at the flip side, which is the federal funding, you can see, again, the grant from the America's Oldest Act was for $328,563. We equate that to trips, and you can see it's rather small, $9,915. And the only purpose, again, is to give you a snapshot view, local funding versus that we receive from the federal government. That's the only purpose of this report. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to ask them. Yeah.
Mike, where are you reading from? I don't know.
Oh, that is not with the monthly report.
No.
It was a separate item?
That was in your package.
In the package?
Yeah. And
that's not...
It wasn't in the packet.
It was in the packet. It wasn't what you were given today as printouts, but it wasn't in the packet itself.
Right.
Correct.
That I tried to print out.
But it might still have
some. But it's on the screen. It's up on. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, move on. To 2B. And this is on your new handout. These are the updated numbers.
3B. Yes.
Rosanna, monthly update.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. In your actual packet, you have the monthly operating report for June. Well, we actually just completed the July report, so I'm going to go over those numbers to give you the most current information. So for our July statistics, our average weekday ridership was 2,566, and our monthly total route ridership was 67,141. And since we've implemented the ADA free cards, which is, I don't know if everybody's aware, anybody who is eligible for ADA, they get an ID card and that allows them to ride the fixed route for free. So ever since they got fees for the postcards. Ever since we've implemented that, we have noticed month to month that our ridership has decreased. From June to July, our ridership decreased by about 7%. So,
as what?
Decreased by 7%.
Decreased.
Correct. If we look down our on-time performance for the month, 95.2%. And our complaint ratio, 1.55 for the month of July. We turn over our bus pass statistics. Year-to-date, we've sold one-day passes, 12,310, 31-day passes, 65,118, and towards the bottom, we have some agency and walk-in information for our agency sales, 2,081, our connection walk-in customers, 3,370, and our peak day for the month was 214 walk-in clients for the month of July. And we've also started selling TD bus passes at the Tri-Rail Intermodal. That started at the beginning of July. It is picking up. We've seen that we've had, for the month of July, we've sold 66 TD bus passes and 99 full fare passes. So it is starting to pick up as people hear about it. And that'll alleviate some of the traffic coming in here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before the meeting, I asked if we had any update numbers on the ADA bus riders using fixed route, which would counteract that 7 and 10% decline in connection riders. Do we have any information on that?
So far, per eligibility, up to date, we've issued 1,345 ADA cards. And our weekly average of ADA free trips are about 700 trips.
Larry, we have a chart that compares the fixed route to the paratransit, and there's definitely a trend. We're seeing an increase in fixed and a decrease in paratransit, which was exactly the goal.
Right.
So there definitely is a
correlation. I just wanted to make sure the board understood that when we're seeing this decrease in connection, it's not something that we're not expecting.
Well, it's positive.
Right.
That's the goal.
Right.
Thomas?
Well, that was the goal of the original plan to start with way back when the program started, to be complementary, not primary.
Either for the next meeting or if you feel comfortable answering now, the agency sales are down 53, almost 54%. If you could maybe give us an understanding of why that's happened and if there's anything that we can do differently to encourage agencies to get on the new database system.
And you're absolutely right. We have seen a decline in the agency sales, and that's been happening over the last several months. As the reasons why, we can actually go back and go back to those specific agents and find out. Maybe it's a funding issue. We're not sure, but I can definitely get you that answer at the next meeting.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
But the prior month, it was up almost 18% in June.
Yeah, it's the agency
sales. So the agency was, but this was down significantly.
Ms. Chair?
Okay.
And you mentioned the ridership down 7%. Maybe a little bit of that is due to the free ridership on buses. But the thing that does not come to light often enough at these and other meetings, Palm Trans Service Board or Paratransit Subcommittee, that in Palm Beach County, there are only 1,300 to 1,400 eligible people, eligible for ADA or TD, who ride on weekdays. And that is a very, very low number of people after almost 20 years of paratransit service to have only 1,300 to 1,400 people a day riding on Palm Trans Connection is infinitesimal, especially when you consider the cost of connection services. So the question is, that 1,300 or 1,400 being small, with all surveys that show unmet and present unmet needs and future unmet needs as the elderly give up driving or should give up driving, the question is, what can be done, what should be done to acquaint those people in Palm Beach County that they are eligible for either ADA or TD service and get them to their medical appointments and other life-sustaining appointments and get them out of their cars, which a lot of them are not capable of driving. But the getting back to the point that is overlooked so often at all of these meetings, that Palm Trans Connection only provides 1,300 to 1,400 people who are eligible, I'm not counting the escorts and companions, and in the future, that work is going to be divided into three carriers.
Thank you.
So
Stanley?
I don't know. I'd like a comment from you who are so interested in transportation or anyone else.
I asked if you had a question with regards to this.
That was the question.
I took it as a statement, but...
No, the question is, why is ridership so low?
We don't feel that it's low, especially if we compare it to other urbanized areas. We provide a high volume of service comparatively, but to increase ridership does increase costs. We feel that those who need the service know about the service. We do outreach to make sure that those who need to know about the service are informed of it. But you know, we do have quite a high ridership.
Correct, we do. And I've got out there into my communities, and we have to remember, this is a service of last resort. Mm-hmm. people in my communities that can't afford to hire somebody or they carpool with an individual, they would prefer to use other alternative types of transportation.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Kathy Alice Koyanagi. I'm grateful for the service, and quite a few of my clients with the Lighthouse are on fixed budget, and they go not only to the Lighthouse to learn skills for a forward life as a blind or visually impaired person, but many of them go to dialysis. So this is a very important service that I see used very much.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You're with the county, obviously. When you say that in comparison to other areas, I'm thinking counties in Florida, where our ridership is high, have you done a comparison with other counties? Is that where you're getting your information?
Yeah, actually, through the consultant that we had to look at what how the next RFP should be structured, make recommendations for that. That was one of the things, is looking at services provided in other areas. So we do have that. And
do you have that information that you can share with this board?
And also keep in mind, too, if you look at the monthly operating report, we add about 500 new customers to the program every month.
Right.
Now, that's 500 people who may never ride or who are only going to ride when they need it. An occasional doctor's appointment, as a commissioner said, you know, as a last resort when they have no other means. We used to have a program called CSTS, County Senior Transportation Service. Primarily, that became a way for the snowbirds to get to the airport, to fly home and then get from the airport home when they returned. You know, those who needed the service continued under ADA. Those who only occasionally needed it were the ones we found who didn't transition over. But most of the service we provide is to sheltered workshops, adult daycare centers, dialysis centers, and medical, who those are riders who travel 3 to 5 times a week. So that's 10 trips a week. So, you know, a few people do generate, you know, going back to what Mr. Boy said, a few people do generate a lot of the rides, but those are also very critical rides. So, you know, it's kind of, the ridership is what it is, and we do get the word out.
Speaking personally, I love my train connection. My mom, when you talk about adult daycare and all, it was a godsend. It was a godsend. And I work with people with disabilities for the workforce board, and they use Pontran connection all the time.
So
I'm for it. I'm just curious about other comparisons. Like, I'm thinking Broward County is pretty comparable to Palm Beach County in a lot of ways. I'd be curious to see what their numbers are against ours.
We actually do far more trips than that.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
In light of their population, total number of population, and can't compare that dollar for dollar with Palm Beach.
Right.
With, because of what Palm Train does, Palm Train Connection does, many of our people have a life. They can wake up in the morning and go somewhere.
I know that.
We call it meaningful day activity. And that's the only possible because these guys are around.
Thank you for the comments. Okay, moving on to...
Madam Chair. I could not hear if the young lady went over the case statistics on the complaint process.
We're going over that now.
Thank you.
Okay. 3B3, detailed complaints review.
Jeff was on the agenda, but he's not available today, so I'll be reviewing the complaints and accommodations for the month of July. As you can see, MMG ended the month with a complaint ratio of 1.55 complaints per 1,000 trips. Again, that being for July. This totaled 104 valid complaints, of which 15 valid complaints were converted to liquidated damages. We received 110 accommodations for that month. The top complaint categories continue to be those for late trips, and then the third top category is for unsafe service. Well, defer that one to Mr. Gonzalez if he wants to address that. Those are the main highlights of it. Everything else is pretty consistent month to month. So, are there any questions?
Any questions from the board? We have a question from the public. Stanley.
And recently there were up to 8,000 late trips a month, eight, and then it dropped to seven. Now in the June report, we're down to 3,500 late trips with only 15 valid complaints and 118 unsubstantiated complaints, all judged by Connection and Metro. And there was talk with others in the MPO that in the future, as in PalmTran, PalmTran is taking the complaint process away from its present source and putting it into the administration of the county. And I would like to suggest that the same be followed with Connection. In other words, take it out of the hands of Connection and the three providers and have independent people look over the complaints, because there would be a tendency, especially with $1 million at stake at the end of the contract, to negate or reduce the number of valid complaints. In a month with 3,500 late trips that have so few complaints, 15 valid complaints is almost unbelievable. And the question is, if calls "Where is my ride" carried as a complaint or as a comment? When most people call and say "Where is my ride," it is late. Some, maybe not. But, and also, when people record their complaints, I have not seen or heard of numbers of complaints that come over the recording. So my question, it's really not your entire responsibility, but in the future, Connection might follow the very good process that Shannon puts in for PalmTran, and that is taking it out of the hands of where it is now and at least putting it into three people in administration. Thank you.
I'm going to let Ron respond.
I think there's always some confusion over that. We're not asking the contractor to rule on their own complaints. Our staff rules on them. We have no, incentives, thank you, to rule them as not valid when they're valid, just as we have no incentive to rule the other way. So, we think we do have a good control over the complaint process. We ruled on, in fact, at a previous meeting when we had said that if we get a complaint from a random person on the street who says it was unsafe, we rule that as valid automatically. Why would you call in something like that that didn't, something didn't happen? And then there was concern over we were making too many valid. So, we do believe the process in place is fair to everybody involved. And, going back to the numbers, though, that Mr. Voice stated, I think 8,000 lates was a little high, but we're comparing that to tens of thousands of trips. The percentage is very high. We have a 90 to 95% on-time performance. Right now it's at 95. Part of that is due to the fact that school's not in session. When school's not in session, that greatly helps our service because there's not as many delays on the street. Our ridership is down slightly, because of the agencies, the school trips that we transport and other agencies that close when the school's closed. But statistically speaking, we think it's a very good number.
Also, just if I may, about 3 years ago, the Commission for Transportation Disadvantage asked me to go and present our complaint process as a model in our conference and their training up in Orlando. So I went up and we were used as a model agency for our complaint process. So,
Larry, Tomas, and then Mike. Go ahead, Larry.
I admit the past couple of months I've been riding fixed routes more. I only used Connection for early morning appointments like today's meeting. But the past couple days that I've had to take it, I've noticed a lack of iPads or iPad usage. I'm not working. Is there a problem with the mobile data terminals?
If I could defer that to Mr. Gonzalez, because yes, we have had the same concern.
I would like to
Wait a minute, Mike. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. We had some charging units burn out, and we've reordered them. And I don't order them one at a time. I order them in bulk. And so maintenance has, we had the first batch in yesterday, and maintenance has ordered the second batch, and it'll be in next week. And we'll be up to full usage of the pads probably by the end of this week.
Okay, thank you. Tomas?
Well, it's my understanding is with the new contract, we're now going to have the mobile data terminals, and we're also going to have the cameras, which I think is going to make it a lot easier for staff to determine what are valid and invalid complaints. My question is, with the use of the mobile data terminals, if a vehicle is late outside of its scheduled pickup window, does a client actually have to call in, or will the system be able to then track that that was a late trip?
The system currently actually tracks that they're a late trip, but with the technology in place, the situation we will have is, yes, that, you know, calls out to actually remind the client, the van's on the way, you know, we want to use our staff more to start calling out the client, say the van's running behind, it'll be there at this time, so they don't have to call us. But keep in mind, not everybody who calls for an ETA is late. That's also something just to clarify what Mr. Boyce was saying. Just as everyone doesn't call isn't the commendation. You know, people call just to check.
And, but will it automatically do it?
To your point, the technology is going to be significantly improved over what we have now, and yes, it will all be done automated.
And the units that are coming in the vehicle are a purpose-built AVL MDT system that just does that, whereas Metro has a tablet that serves the purpose, but then also the tablet can be used for other things. Thus, a lot of them disappear. This is built into the vehicle, and that's the only thing it does is this function, plus more, you know, more helping the driver along the way. I was also actually later going to talk about on-time performance, a few things on that, but since that was brought up now, I can finish that. And just being the, you know, of the trips that are late, three-quarters of them are less than 15 minutes late. You know, the vast majority are, you know, 0 to 15 minutes. And then, you know, we've only had 29 what we call missed trips, trips that are later than an hour, 29 for the entire month, which is greatly down from where it was a few months back. So Metro has done a good job of, at least if somebody's going to be late, we haven't seen an increase in very late. They've reduced late, and they've reduced the number of very late trips.
Thank you, Go ahead, Mike.
All right. On the definition of late trip, I would like a restating or clarification of what is late and what is late for contract purposes to assign any money to it, etc. Where do we stand on what is a late vehicle? Does it mean to fail to be picked up in time, or is it only when you're not delivered in time? What is considered late today?
It's either or on that. First off, does the rider have an appointment time? Because that's the primary goal. Are we getting there? Are we getting them to where they need to be on time? So first we look at, everybody has an appointment time. Did they arrive prior to the appointment? If they don't have an appointment time, such as on a return trip, then we look at, okay, did we arrive within the window? The 15 minutes before, 15 minutes after window. If we met either of those, it's on time. If we did not, it's late. It's a pretty cut and dry. Now, we do have to take the information that Metro puts in our database as, you know, the time as being the time. But we try to supplement that with the fact if we get a complaint and the person says, I was late, we show they are on time. We can investigate those further. We do on-site and on-the-street observations of, you know, riders. Okay, you know, we mark what time we saw the driver pull up. And then, you know, we go back and compare that to the database, what time was listed in the database. Surveys, you know, calling customers, you know, back a few months, we've kind of backed off of it, but a few months back we did a lot of surveys of calling the riders. You know, we show you being picked up on time. Were you in fact picked up on time? That was pretty positive. So issues do occur during the day, but all in all, we do believe the times are accurate as to what Metro is putting in the system. But we did recently inform Metro that if we find a driver or a dispatcher falsifying times, we would just remove them from the program.
I still say that, are you saying that if they're 1 minute beyond the pickup window, 50 minutes before and after, a half an hour, and picking you up to go somewhere, is that a late trip?
If you get to your appointment on time, we wouldn't consider that a late trip.
If you get there on time, it's not considered a late trip?
Correct.
So it's all dependent on whether you get there in time.
Correct.
When you don't get there in time, what is considered not in time?
If you need to, the vehicle needs to arrive at the location prior to the time you requested.
Well, don't you request the time at any one of these trips that you go on?
Well, if like
somebody may determine when you're going to be picked up.
Well, like on a return trip, somebody wouldn't say, okay, I'm returning from the doctor, I'll only be home by 5. They would say, I only be picked up at 4, and we would say, okay, your window is 4 to 4:30.
So on a return trip, there is no finite time that you're late, really?
Well, no, there would be. If we do not arrive before the close of the window, then you would be late on a return trip.
And what if you? What about the time of your arrival on the return trip?
At home?
Yes.
If your return trip, no, there is no arrival time.
Unless your arrival goes over a certain
length. For half an hour due to very poor routing or other things that's meaningless.
Well, we consider those to be what's called onboard violations. No, it wouldn't be late, but we also track how long was a person on board compared to, what is the distance traveled. So, yes, while we say the maximum ride time shouldn't exceed 2 hours, we do look on an individual basis how far was that person going, what time of day was it that they were traveling, because a trip at 5 o'clock is going to take longer than a trip at noon. But we do look at those factors and try to minimize how long people are on board the vehicle.
And weather conditions.
Correct.
Mary Ann, quick question. As a coordinating board, have we or can we establish like performance goals for these percentages?
The performance goals are dictated in the contract between the county and the provider.
Can we see those?
Certainly.
So that, I'm looking at, 1.99% for the 0 to 15 minutes, and boy, that seems okay, given it all factors. But I don't really know. I don't know how that's measuring against these performance goals that you have with the contractor.
We will also.
But you're aware that the contract we have now is only going to be in place for 6 months?
End of January.
End of January.
I imagine another RFP's out on
it. It's already been done.
Okay, and so you'll negotiate performance goals at the time that you pick a...
No, we have already prepared a contract, and by submitting a proposal, the vendors have already agreed to the terms
select,
and conditions.
Right, so some work for you already selected. And they're aware of their performance goals.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So, and under the new model, it's going to be very different because we are going to have full control of reservation scheduling and dispatch,
mm-hmm.
unlike now, where the contractor has control of dispatch. So they have more control of on-time performance.
All right. Is there a problem seeing those goals then?
For the new contract?
The RFP is public. We'd be happy to provide a copy.
It would be nice to look at it here to see how these numbers are comparing to what was
established. It's apples and oranges. Both contracts are different. The old contract is very different from the new one.
We oversee that contract, and there's liquidated damages that are assessed if, in fact, they violate any of the parameters under the contract. And that's something we do as the contract monitor for the Board of the County Commissioners.
And as part of our upcoming CTC evaluation, the performance measures are part of that, and how we're comparing to those performance measures are also listed.
Is arriving about an hour before the appointed time, requested time, is that given any weight as being slightly off?
We would consider that off, but we would not consider it a late trip. But we would consider it too early.
Okay. Ron, may I?
Go ahead.
As part of the TDSP, are there performance measures in the TDSP?
Yes.
Okay.
We were supposed to also present the TDSP at this meeting, but we weren't complete yet with updating it with the changes that are going to occur with the next contract, so we'll be presenting that in November in this, okay. Saying that we'll have all these performance measures also.
And that's where this board will have input as to some of the performance measures. So
the performance measures are also in the CTC evaluation
yes.
workbook, which I guess they will also see as well.
Seeing no other questions, we'll move on to the proposed no-show policy.
In order to be fully compliant with the paratransit requirements of the ADA, we needed to update our no-show policy. We updated it in the areas, basically enforcement of no-shows, to make sure that we're enforcing when the person has a true pattern or practice. And also, the policy needs to take into account the number of trips taken compared to the number of no-shows. The changes to the policy are that we have changed the time needed for the customer to call in a cancellation from 3 hours to 90 minutes. So we're...
Thank you.
Now that we have more technology in place, the process is a lot faster than it used to be, so we don't need as much time as we felt we used to get the information from the client through the reservationist to the dispatcher to the driver. That system is more or less automated now. So 90 minutes we feel is adequate, and this is a benefit to the customer. We do also want to, though, even if it's less than 90 minutes, still encourage customers to call us if they can, because anything even less than 90 minutes is still a benefit to us. So we're looking at a system where instead of counting late trips as the equal to a no-show, which we do now, we'll count them as basically half a no-show. Two late cancels then would be a no-show. But it still encourages the person to call, but it's still late, so we want to at least enforce that and encourage the riders to call sooner if they can. It does continue with, we do not enforce no-shows that are outside of the control of the rider. And the penalties will be enforced when it's the person can't have more than one no-show for every 10 scheduled trips, which also is more generous than what we currently have. And we won't enforce for anything less than 3 no-shows or the equivalent of. And this goes into effect as soon as, if the board is in agreement. We would also like to run this by our paratransit subcommittee. And we'll start rolling it out after that.
How serious of a problem is our no-shows?
They're not serious. We think, statistically speaking, our no-shows are comparatively low, 2 to 3%. But, for the riders who have excessive no-shows are more the ones that we're concerned with. It seems a lot of riders have 1 or 2 no-shows every month. It's just a handful of riders that end up no-showing multiple times through the course of a month. And usually it's a case of people who aren't aware of the no-show policy and just find a better alternative transportation at the last second and just ride with somebody else and never let us know.
So what would you do?
The enforcement is first a written warning to the rider of excessive no-shows, then a 14-day suspension and a loss of their subscription ride. If they then continue to no-show, then it becomes a 30-day suspension.
Nancy?
How will you educate the riders about this? Will it happen when they make a phone call saying, please, we need to know within 90 minutes and there are consequences? I mean,
yes.
How do you? Okay, so
we let them know.
Is that the point
of?
Okay.
Through the rider's guide, our on hold message, we'll say that this is our no-show policy. We do get the word out to all of our riders. And again, this really only affects a handful of people.
Question. What is going to be classified as no-show when the vehicle is late? How late does the vehicle have to be before the rider gets alternative transportation? It's still called a no-show.
At the end of the window is late.
The end of the window?
Yes. Now, we do have situations where the dispatcher may inadvertently mark something a no-show when the driver was late, and we change those so they're not a no. We call it no-fault no-show. But it's no fault to the customer. And then once a trip is 60 minutes late, then it goes from a late trip to a missed trip, which then there is a financial penalty to the contractor for those.
Any other questions? David?
Yeah, I have a follow-up. someone's appealing through the grievance process, they still use the transportation system when it's being appealed? Or is it just...
We will let them continue to ride as they go through the appeal process.
I was just thinking about someone who may have a medical emergency, or they're in a hospital or something like that, so that part's taken care of, right?
Yeah, our scheduling supervisory vet, she usually first, when she sees somebody become a frequent no-shower, she usually calls them, she discusses it with them, goes over what the process is. If the person says, well, I have medical issues, then she can back those off. You know, we do have some cases where the person calls in and says, I found a better ride, and then when the vet calls and says, you have a lot of no-shows, what's going on? Oh, it's all medical issues. But we do go out of our way to work with the riders and be accommodating, because the last thing we want to do is suspend somebody for any reason. You know, it's something that we reserve for, you know, only the most severe cases.
Marianne? Is there a statutory language that controls or governs suspension and termination of driver's?
Yes, just to limit our ability to suspend. Again, that's why I said it has to be a pattern or practice. It has to be compared to the number of trips somebody takes. You know, those are the limits, just to make sure that we don't have an overly aggressive no-show policy.
Okay. Marianne?
This follows what Ms. Weitzman was talking about, education. I get it, because when these people don't show, it hurts everybody else who's using the system. And we're talking about personal responsibility here, at least making a phone call 90 minutes before to say, you know what, I don't need that. I don't need it today, I'm sorry. So the next person can possibly get it. I understand the suspension. It sounds a little punitive, but I get it. But to your question about education, if I heard you correct, Mr. Jones, you said something about you kind of know who your no-show and no-call people are, okay? Is there any kind of seminar, webinar, workshop that we can say, you know what, you've been a no-call and a no-show for X amount of times. You know where I'm coming from, I think. You're smiling at me. In order for you to get back in the good graces of Palm Connection, we would like you to sit through a 30-minute workshop, and with technology, you can put it on your website, and not everybody, but most people have computers. But if they don't, maybe they can come to a place in the community and, like, let them, in other words, enlighten them that your lack of consideration, and I know I'm sounding harsh because this is all about personal responsibility, this is how it's affecting the next person. Sometimes it'll hit home if you educate them and they go, I had no idea. You're right. I find that sometimes you get more with honey than with vinegar. Now, if that fails, then you do the suspension by all means. But you're giving people options to enlighten them, to raise their consciousness, if you will. Because I found that through the years, sometimes people don't realize how their actions affect other people. And we're talking about, you know, people that really need this system.
That's a good idea. We can look at that.
Am I being pie in the sky?
I think when they've had the verbal communication on more than one occasion that this affects the system, that you are being inconsiderate, that's enough. I think the number of allowances that they are giving the no-show people, from my perspective, is generous. But I will leave it to staff if you want to take a look at it.
One other thing we have changed internally also is not waiting to the end of the month to look at the no-shows, because, you know, if a person has stopped going, the contractor's dispatcher isn't aware that day after day the same person keeps no-showing. After a few trips, we need to stop no-showing that person and call them and find out what's going on. So we've internally taken those steps, too, to not wait to the end of the month. Do on a frequent basis, okay, over the last few days, is anybody frequently no-show? Because in a lot of cases, like dialysis centers, which, you know, isn't counted against the rider because in all likelihood it was a medical issue, they travel frequently. In a lot of cases, dialysis centers don't even know. We tell them,
the person's in the hospital, just, you know, because the person just stopped showing up and, you know, can't call us. So at least we're aware before it becomes a problem.
Tomas and then Sebastian.
I was going to say, I mean, I think it's a great idea, you know, in terms of education, but where I think we could really see the education is in the promoting of the automated system. Because now, instead of a person having to call and wait, which I think could have been an issue before, okay, now they're just pressing buttons, and I think they're going to be much more inclined to do the call cancellation.
Sebastian,
Nancy. I concur with that completely. I think that five system for canceling out, first we get it immediately. You don't have to get on the call line, which is sometimes very long before you go in, although it isn't as bad as it used to be. But by being able to cancel out by hitting five, and picking it up that way, that's instantaneous. It makes it much easier to cancel within the shortest period of time.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I believe I'm getting signals that we need to take a 2-minute break for Scribner's error.
Okay. Thank you.
Versus 3 days.
Okay, we're going to reconvene. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Sebastian, and then Nancy.
I was merely supporting what you said. Once we have identified from Ron's group that the person has no show, he lands 3, 4, 5 times, to offer to conduct a counseling session after written warning, where you're going to get the resources to go on, and then there would be other administrative hearing and different things that occur. There has to be a rule from quality assurance point of view that this is within the range of tolerance you are allowed to be done. Things happen, but if someone is using the system perennially, violates the set standards. I believe the written notice is good enough.
Well, as I said, we're willing to look at it, just because one thing, you know, we are in the initial stages. We did ask for another position to the budget process to do a quasi-functional assessment to have people come in to our office when they first are eligible to make sure that what they put on the application is consistent with their actual needs, and to go over the program needs, you know, no shows and that sort of thing. We could add on to that. And we're willing to look at it. We could, obviously, as you said, we couldn't do anything that was an administrative burden, but we could look into it.
For all utopian outcomes, we need to have some resources too. And I believe that type of counseling requires a position. And then there are consequences and record keeping and so on and so forth. Then probably you're required to hold on to those records for 5, 6 years.
Probably, but you know, one thing we've seen a lot of transit agencies doing stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, you do it on your own website. We said, you know,
as part of this, you know, you need to look at the webpage, review it, YouTube video, something to explain what no-shows actually, you know, how they affect the service.
And it might be a good thing, even when they're first signing up, to educate them about the do's and don'ts, you know, and that, you know, they consent.
We used to do that, actually.
I'll work
my
with you.
Agency,
Sunshine Law allows it. I'll work with you.
I used to do that, and I'm considered one of the experts in this area. We used to call it technical assistance.
Wonderful.
And quality improvement, quality enhancement, and in those terms that you. But the idea is, if the beauty is in the eyes of beholder, if somebody is not going to show up at 8:30, he's not going to show up at 8:30. So there has to be. How many places we have this rule? There are in a handbook, all the publications, your website, everywhere you can post this notice, and that should suffice the purpose.
Could call it a Pontran Connection Orientation.
Madam Chair, at this time, I'd like to move approval of the bill.
Wait, still have people waiting to speak.
Nancy. You know, I just want to say I really appreciate your call center manager making those follow-up phone calls or the person who schedules. I think that shows a tremendous amount of compassion and understanding of your ridership. And I would think that she may also encounter set situations that are medically involved, and it may be a memory loss issue. And I would
so hazard to guess that perhaps she would advise that the person might even need case management and, you know, more care management from my social service life that I had. I really think that's great. And what I think is also nice about your policy, it allows for discretion. And that's what a policy has reasons, but you always have discretion. So that, I just think it's a thoughtful policy with what's going on, with knowing this, the particular needs of your community and the care that you put into serving them.
Thank you. Comments from the public. Stanley.
I have a comment.
A question. Unless I missed it, was there a report on the percentage of cancellations?
I did that.
It is in the monthly report. It's in the monthly report.
Did you report it here?
We don't have it, but it is in our monthly report.
Well, what does it say in the monthly report? In other words, are the percentage of cancellations increasing, decreasing? It used to be, what, 17%?
We have a combined cancellation and no-show rate of, call it 21%, 20.7% for the month of July. That's all forms of cancellation, being advanced cancels, late cancels, missed trips, no shows, no fault, no shows. So it's combined. So that has come down. The combined were higher previously. So over the years, it has slowly gone down. The actual no show rate for July was 2%.
The cancellations, what percent was that?
Advance cancels are 13%, late cancels 6%.
Okay, so it's 19%. That's expensive to the county, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there anything being done to reduce that percentage?
That's why we're presenting the no-show policy.
Pardon me?
That's why we're presenting the policy change to do something about it.
Mike?
Is it considered a cancellation if you call in and adjust a time to make it a half an hour later, longer, even the day before? Is it considered a cancellation?
Yes, you would be canceling the original trip and we would rebook that.
So it's the day before, so it would be.
Even the day before, a week before, you're changing the time that you want to arrive because of circumstances.
Correct. And I, you know, we've debated this internally over the years.
I'm just wondering whether it's considered a cancellation.
It is considered a cancellation. It's an advanced cancellation, but it is a cancellation. We've debated that. We could as well just edit the existing trip, but the thought is then we have a record of you originally called it this, we changed it to this with a new trip. There's pros and cons to booking a new trip, but just the way we've always done it.
Any other comments? Yes.
I have a comment. They no-showed me one time when I was going to, I went to Trader Joe's one time, then went to the Garden Mall, and then I think this was at the beginning of August, they no-showed me, and then I had to wait an hour just to go back home to go on a date with my new girlfriend, so they shouldn't have done that,
okay.
Even though I guess they couldn't find me or whatever. I don't know what the reason was. They couldn't find me. And they no-showed me a couple of months ago also. My mom had to come and get me at work. So I don't know what's going on here.
That does get back to also one of the reasons why we wanted to take over the dispatch function, have a better control over that. Because in a number of cases, yes, the person was a no-show, we ended up going back. We need to really look at what are the pros and cons of that. That, you know, if we need to give the person a few more minutes, knowing we're going to have to go back, or assuming we're going to have to go back, or like, you know, what do we do in those situations? But we need to see that firsthand as to what's going on in the dispatch room to really, you know, analyze what's the better to do. Because, you know, in a case like that, we took the person there. Why aren't we taking them home?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. 2 points. One is Monday I was with my client at Delray Community Center. He was being picked up. He's blind and deaf with a guide dog. And the bus came and stood there. We're at the door. And he came and he never came out, never got the guide, and then took off. And I called and they said the person was a no-show. Now I can see a little bit out of my right eye. and I saw him there. He was where the monitor is, that far away, but he didn't get out of the bus to come to get this blind rider. He counted him as a no-show and just left. So I saw that. The other thing I want to mention regarding no-shows, and just food for thought, as we switch, we're making a movement forward and changing, and as we're doing so, the community is reestablishing their way of thinking about PalmTran and our transportation system. As that becomes more positive, perhaps the no-shows will decrease, because there is that air with quite a few riders is they screw me, they don't show up, they're running late. All that history of garbage that we're getting away from, right. We're still pulling with them. And so a lot of people say, why should I call and cancel? I'm not even going to answer the door. I'm just going to be a no-show.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you.
Right.
The problem with that attitude, though, is trying to contain the costs so that the rides... It was very heartbreaking to have to increase the cost of rides last year. If people that you're referring to continue with that mindset, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you heard the county, there was a question asked about the percentage of the work, the transportation services that are provided. And a national consultant came in and said Palm Beach County exceeds what other communities are doing. Well, that comes as a cost. And we're trying to contain the cost, and people that don't show the respect for the services that are provided create a problem for the rest of us.
For all.
Absolutely. For all. Mike, and then Marianne.
I think there should be a setup that would distinguish between blind, legally blind, because that can run the gamut of things fairly well all the way down.
Right.
Because one of my greatest gripes with the system is a driver doesn't get off their butt and come and get me because I have no idea that anyone is out there. I wouldn't know how to get to where they are, anything else. If a person is functionally blind, that should be put down in there so the driver knows that just sitting there looking around or getting up and yelling a name.
Let staff answer that, please, Mike. Go ahead, Ron.
We've actually discussed that many times in the past with Mr. Nagerberg, and my position has always been he's right, but the driver should do that for every client. And our concern has always been if we say, okay, this client, though, keep in mind you have to provide door-to-door because they're sight-impaired or, they should do that for every client. And
I agree with that.
And, to say, now especially for this client, no, we want to know every time it's not provided because that's the minimum expectation we have of that driver. If they're not doing it, we need to know if, getting back to the complaint process on that. The first time somebody calls us and says that, it is he said, she said. And it's going to be listed under the unsubstantiated. The second time... we'll look at it again. The third time, there's a pattern. We want the contractor to get with that driver and find out why isn't the driver doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're almost there with the tablets. We will be there 100% with the new ADL system of no one. Driver, are you where you're supposed to be? In addition, we are also, we're not going to have a radio system like they currently have. We will have a push-to-talk system, cell phone based, and as an add-on to that is all these cellular things now are GPS. So we'll have the backup of where does the tablet say they are? Well, with MDT system that we tablets, where does their phone show that they're at? If the driver's out of the vehicle, we can still reach them, which is a huge problem we have now. We'll be able to pinpoint, is the driver where he's supposed to be, and also limiting the range that the driver has where he hits that button to say that he's there. That if he says he's on site and the GPS doesn't line up with where the system thinks they should be to hit that button, it's going to flash and say there's a problem here. Again, I hate to say everything is waiting for February,
But, you know, there are things that we have in place to address that. But every driver needs to get out of that seat and go to the door and find a client. You know, I always say the time I was waiting with Keith, I believe it was outside of the government center, and the driver right. pulls up, and he's looking at us, and we're looking at him, and I say, how you doing? He says, fine. And he's still, Keith has to walk over, and, you know, right, you can't get out of the seat. You know, we see it. When we see it, we address it. It's a liquidated damage against the contractor when the driver doesn't do it.
I always tell him to do it. Knock on my door.
Rick will tell you because he's in my office all the time complaining, especially at adult daycare center. The driver pulls up. He watches all of these seniors get out of the van, and that's an LQD for every one of those seniors that got in at that center. Because that is, and I'm sorry to go on, but that is the expectation, and that is what we want every driver to do.
Thank you. Mary Ann.
I'm going to go back to education again, and I'm going to take over the drivers. And I promise this will be the last
This comment. This is the no-show policy that we're trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah. Okay. Your drivers, though, you're talking about technology, and certainly this is 2014, and technology is a wonderful tool. Absolutely. It makes all our work a lot easier. However, you have to have a basic understanding, compassion, and education. And I agree that the drivers should be treating everyone with the same kind of dignity and respect. But the reality is some of our passengers on Palmtran Connection need a little more because their challenges may be a little greater than the next person. And so the driver, while they were all, when my mom used it, I couldn't ask for more decent, compassionate people. But if someone doesn't understand, like the gentleman here said something about, he just looked at me, he didn't realize.
Ryan, is this about no-show? Because we're going to have member comments
at the end.
Well,
it is. And it's also about, you brought up, okay. Madam Chair, you brought up about attitude, that, well, that's wrong, the attitude, it's costing us money. But attitudes are learned behaviors, and I don't mean to practice backyard psychiatry or psychology. Sometimes people, well, I'll get them because they didn't show up for me. Well, I'll show them. I won't call them. That's because maybe they grew up, that's the only way they knew how to react to something. I mean, we're an educated group of people, we're intelligent people, we can't overlook the fact that maybe it's on us to educate the drivers a little more, maybe it's on us to educate the riders a little more.
I would like to ask everyone on this board to raise their hand if they use Palmtran or their client uses it, and they don't have one of these on when the driver comes up to pick them up in a place that has more than your own private home where you're the only one there. But when many people are there, this is one of the greatest things to help drivers. And I'd like to have someone raise their hands here if they use it and have their clients use it when they're being picked up in a place where there are multiple people. How many of you know it? Use it.
I got it.
It's one thing to have it and another thing to use it.
Thank you. Any other questions on the no-show policy? Okay. Moving on. MMMG update. Ron.
Actually, I've kind of touched on everything I was going to talk about already, so okay. I would just defer to Mr. Gonzalez first to see if he has anything he would like to add about MMMG.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I just would like to say that moving forward, the staff at MMMG, both the leadership and the riders, are dedicated to working hard to close out this contract completely. And as far as the new contractors that are already coming on board, I've reached out to them already to talk about driver recruitment and the need to make sure the transition goes seamless. I have relationships with the gentleman at MB already. I had a meeting with Marudi. The new general manager from First Transit's a little bit of a hard hit, but he'll come around. That's me, by the way. So I foresee a very smooth transition 5 months from now.
Thank you. Questions from the members? IVR update.
That would be me. For lack of time, I know you guys heard me talk about it before, but the update is the IVR is the interactive voice recognition system where the riders can call and they can check on their trips or they can cancel their trips automated, as Mike said, just by pressing number 5. Also, we have the reservation line which does call-outs beforehand, so they can also opt in to have a call out the night before their trip to give them the details of the trip, where they can also cancel it the night before in case they need to. Also, we have a fixed route IVR where you can call to check on a route or check where the route goes, things like that. So that's also operational now as well. We sent 17,000 postcards out to let people know about the IVR system. We have hundreds of calls have come in to ask about it. I've signed up for the call-out system, meaning the call-out, call-ahead the night before. So we have it on our on hold. We've had it on our on hold for the last 6 to 7 months. We'll do it again. We had a press release about it, so we're really getting it out, and we're getting moving. The email system hasn't worked yet. The online system, which Keith has used somehow in the past, is not operational yet, but we're working on it. There's also a system where you can send an email to Trepeze, our IVR system, where it will email you your trip information. So it's going in the right direction.
Now, Larry just said that we were not getting the call. You just left, but he said that now we are not getting, we're doing the beta testing and still in testing, but we still are not getting the call the night before.
No, you should be getting the call the night before.
Me and him are not getting those.
I'll check it for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't call subscription riders. It just calls the people that have day-to-day trips.
Demand trips. Because subscriptions are trips, like let's say I go to work 5 days a week. We're not going to call them every day before because it'll be a burden on our phone system. So, but it's working well.
Great. Any questions?
There's a question as to whether when sending out the 17,000 cards and the postage involved and invite 17,000 phone calls, why you didn't just disseminate the information to the 17,000 people and avoid all those incoming phone calls and questions? Wouldn't it have been better to do it all at one time? Shannon, do you have an answer for that?
I think we did a very good job at notifying the people of the system.
Pardon?
I think we did a very good, our staff did a very good job at getting the word out that this was available.
I couldn't hear you.
I think our staff did a very good job at getting the information out to the public.
On these 17,000 cards?
That was the system they chose. I want to thank staff for the technology, for communicating with the riders. We've come a long way, and I want to thank you all for your efforts. And with that, we are going to move on to any member comments. Yes.
Hi, I have one. Actually, I need your help. I want to apologize if my predecessor, Jane Petrosky, brought this up before at a previous meeting. And so work with me, okay? Because and let me know and let me know if there's already been this has already been answered and settled. So it's a process. This is my fifth month on the day on the job. I think it's almost like today to the day. That as you know, I'm the program manager for the Section 5310 program with FDOT, and that has to do with capital equipment going to programs serving seniors and persons with disabilities. And under the intent of MAP 21, it was to give the urbanized areas more control over the Section 5310 program. And although in most of Florida, local agencies requested that the state continue to manage the program, and in District 4 previously, before MAP 21, the annual review of the applications, that committee consisted of MPO staff and staff from different counties in different years. Now, to fulfill the intent of MAP 21, as it is now, we would like to form a more stable and involved participation, and we propose having an advisory committee consisting of an MPO member, a CTC staff, and an LCB member, which is here. Now, this committee will not meet often, but it will help determine local policy and procedures for grants and be a part of the annual grant review. And so we need a member from this committee. I'm not sure if someone has already come up and someone was selected. And I'd like to know that. And if someone has, I would think we also can propose an alternate, because to schedule a meeting with everyone in Broward, in Palm Beach is an experience. And the meetings will be held at the central our district office in Fort Lauderdale on Commercial. So I would appreciate self-volunteering, self-nominations, group nominations, keeping in mind that there no one on that committee can submit an application. They cannot be a funded agency. They cannot be putting in any funding at all. And that's just a very clear point of view that we just...
Can they attend the meeting via technology? Do they have to go all the way down to Fort Lauderdale? And that's a hardship for a lot of people.
Well, I would like to be able to figure out a way to have a common part. I can check to see what the technology options are. I can check that out as a possibility. I'm sure we'll work here to accommodate how that... to work on making that happen. Probably, you know, I don't see the meetings taking more than 2 hours, and they tend to be around 10 in the morning, you know, something like that. So we go over. So I'm hearing a Marianne.
Do you work with CareerSource for Howard at all? Are they at the table?
No.
Okay.
No, this is, we need to, you know, let me tell you more about it, but it's more of an NPO, CTC, and the LCB for this specific. We can, I'll put you down, Marianne.
Yeah.
Please tell me if this has come up before in a previous meeting. Give me a heads up, because I don't want to exclude anyone who's on it, but we really want to keep it to one member because it's to make it all work. So, okay, I'm just checking in.
You got a volunteer.
All right.
Yeah, if there's no one else, I'll gladly, because the Workforce Board and NFDOT have worked before many years ago. They'll lay the commuter route out there.
And excuse me, Ron, who from the CCC would attend?
You can,
I can bring the coffee to my meetings. I can't drink your coffee. We can do that. So you guys can be each other's alternates. I can see one of your faces at the meeting, but I can see Luke. Yeah.
Of course, I'll attend.
Of course,
yes.
So we
don't necessarily need three, but I mean, I think us two would be great, and then if the CTC would like to show up, that would be good, because...
We do need the CTC.
Okay, so, because they'd be coordinating 5310.
Yes.
We could carpool. We're all close.
Yeah.
Take Dry Rail.
Take Dry Rail.
And then do an assessment. Any
other comments from committee members? Bobby?
You have the next meeting down, but you don't have where. Have we decided where we're going to be meeting now?
Meetings are right here.
Oh, rats.
9:30.
You can't have coffee here. We wanted someplace where we could have coffee. At least Ron gave us coffee when we were down in Connection.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, any other... Mike?
I would like to notify you that I'm solidifying my standing as the senior member of this group, because my birthday is next Wednesday, just 1 week from today, and I will be 96 years old.
Wow.
Today.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? Seeing none, our next meeting is November 12th. 2014. Please remember next week the Palm Beach County Schools open their doors again for another year. Drive safely. Watch out for those boys and girls who take a little bit of extra time on the roads for the children that choose to ride their bicycles or walk. And to all of those veterans, our next meeting will be after Veterans Day. Thank you for your service. Be well.
Thank you. And welcome to our little plan.